October 30th, 7383 BC. Orion was starving as he sat at a table in an inn with his brother Theo and a friend. They'd entered the human realm from a portal not that long ago and made their way into the city to find this out-of-the-way place where humans gathered to eat and find companionship and news after dark. How he adored this new modern age. Women had looser morals. So did the men. It was so much easier to find prey. These days they gathered together for them. All they had to do was order drinks and pretend to be human for a bit. Although he'd heard of some Appellites who were beginning to open places like this that catered to their people to make it easier on them to find meals, both Appellite and Daemon. He hadn't found one yet, but he was hopeful, especially as he was supposed to meet up with Zinn for their annual rendezvous. Theo laughed beside him with his friend Monades. The two of them had gotten into Orion's last batch of blood wine and were passing it around quite liberally. That had become a lucrative product in their world, thanks to Ruin and Sheba. After all these centuries, Orion still thought about her from time to time and wondered what it would have been like had she lived. Xanthia? She died a few centuries back when she failed to renew her soul on time. That was a delicate matter for them, one they had to be careful about, as it was as much guesswork as science. Each soul was different, and how long it would keep them alive was completely dependent on the person it belonged to. No two were ever the same. Some souls could last for a few months, and some for only a few hours. Until a Daemon claimed the soul, he never knew its endurance. The exterior of a person was no guarantee. A tiny human could have a remarkable soul that wouldn't be defeated, while the most arrogant giant could have a shriveled-up, cowardly soul that was good for nothing. When Theo went to guzzle the wine, Orion snatched it from his brother's hand to take a swig. "Wish you would sober up. I need you both to pay attention."
"Sorry," Theo snickered,
which led him to believe that the apology wasn't sincere. Orion rolled his eyes, until he spotted a possible victim off to the right. It was a huge brute of a bastard, and he was groping a tiny serving wench. She looked as if she'd rather be anywhere else, while the man laughed at her misery. When she tried to pull away, he backhanded her so hard that it was a wonder he hadn't broken her neck. Yet no one lifted a finger to help her or even looked in her direction. Orion slapped at his brother's arm and jerked his chin to let Theo know he'd found his prey. Yeah, that bastard needed to be removed from the gene pool. He wouldn't mind listening to a soul that cruel beg for mercy for a while. They had to wait until the human decided to take a piss before they got up to follow him out back. Orion was already salivating for his soul, especially when he overheard his words to the girl asking her if she had a younger sister he could plow. Disgusted, he could barely refrain from murdering him. Instead, Orion paused to hand the girl his purse. She was so skittish that she actually flinched. "It's your tip," he assured her. "Please, take it." Her hand trembled, but not as much as her voice.
"Thank you, my lord."
He narrowed his eyes on Theo. "And that's why I don't want Nephele in the human realm."
"I know, Adelphos. I have two daughters. You think I ever sleep?"
Manides snorted.
"Try having six.
I haven't slept since the day the first one was born, and it hasn't gotten any better as they've aged." Not wanting to think about that, Orion drew up short as they left the building, and a tall, dark-haired man cut them off on their way to kill their prey.
"Excuse us,"
aggravated, Orion tried to step around him. He intentionally moved to stand in their way. Orion arched his brow.
"Did you not hear my apology?"
"I heard, Daemon. Just don't care."
That sobered him quickly, as it had been a long, long time since anyone in the human realm had known who or what they really were. Their breed had been lost long ago to myths and legends. "Who are you, stranger?"
"The who isn't important. I'm a dark hunter."
Orion scowled.
"You hunt the dark?
Isn't that a little futile?" As expected, he had no sense of humor. Rather, he glared at Orion as if he could cut his throat.
"A warrior of Artemis, charged with putting an end to your kind."
"Isn't that a little harsh? Brother, I just met you. Shouldn't you get to know me before you want to kill me? Baring fangs, he lunged at them and stabbed Manides right through his daemon's mark. Poor Manides didn't even have time to scream. He burst apart into a shower of golden dust. Theo turned pale as Orion's humor evaporated.
"Did you know we did that?"
Theo breathed. Orion opened a portal as the Dark Hunter moved to engage them. He blocked him from Theo and shoved his brother through so that he could return home, or at least he tried to. Stubborn bastard wouldn't go, and Orion didn't have time to argue as the Dark Hunter pulled out a coppice and made ready to carve him like a roast. Using his powers, he manifested his own, but before he got a chance to parry, Theo bit into the Dark Hunter's neck. They both screamed out, however the Dark Hunter's cry turned into cruel laughter.
"Didn't anyone tell you, Daemon? Dark Hunter blood is poisonous to your kind."
Orion blasted the bastard with a god bolt, then used his powers to fry him with everything he had. He didn't wait around to see if it killed the Dark Hunter. Instead, he seized his brother and carried him into the portal. By the time they landed in Colossus, Theo was barely breathing. His father shot to his feet and came down from his throne as Orion laid Theo on the floor.
"What is this?"
Theo gasped and choked as he shook from head to toe. "He's been poisoned by a Dark Hunter."
"A what?"
Orion met his father's gaze. "A Dark Hunter. Apparently Aunt Artemis has been busy. She's created something to hunt and kill us."
"Apollyme!"
his father called. Orion felt his arm begin to glow, but he wasn't sure if his powers would work on this. He'd never tried to use them on a daemon. "Theo, look at me." Theo was barely coherent.
"Don't you dare die!"
Orion choked on his tears. Apollyme appeared at his brother's feet, then froze.
"Zedrix, fetch the sap!"
Her Caronte flew off to obey. She immediately rushed to Theo's side and knelt down to touch his forehead. Orion didn't miss the tears in her own eyes as she met his gaze.
"I didn't know about these creatures."
His father glared at her.
"When were they created?"
She glanced toward his father.
"I don't know,
but I will find out. And I promise if they have a weakness, I will learn it for you." "Ori!"
Theo reached up and grabbed his chiton.
"I?
Be a father to my children for me. Tell Brax!"
He burst apart into nothing. Orion couldn't breathe as he stared at the golden dust that had been his brother. Stunned disbelief kept him paralyzed. How could this be? How? Theo couldn't be dead. Not like this. Nay, he looked up to meet his father's equally shocked gaze. Fury descended over his features as he summoned his armor.
"Trotis!"
he roared.
"Give me 6 men, now!"
Orion stood up. His father blasted him with a god bolt that sent him reeling and crashing into the far wall.
"I will not lose another son tonight! Damn it to the farthest pit, boy, you will stay here, if I have to feed you to the Caronte!"
And with that, his father and Trotis, along with their team, were gone. Embarrassed and in pain, Orion pushed himself to his feet. Apollyme came over to him with a sympathetic smile.
"I'm so sorry, Orion."
"For which part?"
"All of it, but mostly for your brother."
He felt the tears stinging his eyes.
"We were blindsided.
The Dark Hunter stabbed Manides in his mark and he burst apart. Did you know that about us?" She shook her head. "Then Theo bit him, and he told us that their blood was poison to us." She cupped his cheek in her hand. "Artemis has always been a treacherous whore. If she's created an army, you know it was for selfish reasons." That didn't change the fact that he now had to go to Proxia and tell her that her husband wasn't coming home. That he'd have to tell his other brothers about this. His stomach tightened so much that for a moment, he thought he might be sick. A sob broke, but Orion caught it with a ragged breath. Unexpectedly, Apollyme pulled him against her and held him in her arms.
"Just breathe, child. Life is loss. It's harsh, and it's pain. There are days when it seeks to drive us to our knees, when we're left asking ourselves why we shouldn't just slit the wrist and be done with it all."
"I've been feeling a lot of that lately."
"I know."
She kissed his brow.
"But it also surprises us.
fills us with warmth and happiness, and those moments when we know there's something more, something wonderful.
He scoffed at her words. I haven't felt that in a long, long time, Akra. All I have inside me is an aching hollowness that wakes every night, seeking some reason as to why I should bother finding another soul to elongate my useless life.
I'll tell you why, Orion. Don't let the bastards win.
Pardon?
You want a reason to live? That's one good reason there. It pisses off your enemies. If you can't live for those who love you, then live to spite those who hate your guts. Every breath you take is a spit in their eye. Savor it as such, knowing they begrudge you every intake that feeds your starving lungs.
He actually gave a bitter laugh at that. Spoken like a true goddess of destruction.
Absolutely. Sometimes it's not a matter of being the best. You just have to be the last man standing.
Is that what you are?
Nay, good Urien. I'm the most dangerous enemy of all. I'm the patient one. I lie in wait, letting them think that they have me quelled, when the truth is far different. I'm watching and learning. After all, the tiger lies low not from fear, but for aim.
It doesn't matter if you strike the first blow, but you better make sure you strike the last one. That was what his father had always said.
Apollyme nodded. Exactly.
Sighing, he wiped at his eyes. Thank you, Akra. She rubbed his back.
You know where I am, if you need me.
Orion didn't move until she left him alone. His mind was still reeling with the events of the night and the fact that he needed a soul. Artemis had changed the rules on them. A part of him wondered if it had anything to do with the fact that they'd been hunting and killing Apollo's other lineage. But then, he couldn't imagine that Artemis would care. As Apollyme had noted, she was too selfish for that. Paris and Davin entered the hall, looking for his father. Orion flinched as he realized they had no idea what had happened. Unable to tell them about Theo, he opened a portal, and for the first time in his life, he ran. Which was a stupid thing, since he didn't know where the portal would drop him. Fortunately, it didn't drop him in daylight. It took him a full minute to realize that this was the ruins of Sheba's capital. He was standing in what once had been the hallway where she died. Haunted by the ghosts of his past, he tried to remember that night. But time had dulled his memories. It was so long ago now. He could barely remember what she looked like. Even the fact that he'd been married seemed more like a dream than reality. And still, the human souls in his head screamed. The only time they gave him peace was whenever Zin was with him. For some reason, he didn't hear them with her around. He didn't know if he was so occupied by her presence that he just didn't pay attention, or if there was something about her that blotted them out. Whatever it was, her presence gave him a precious reprieve from the madness. As Orion was thinking about Zin, he caught a peculiar flash buried in the rubble. Scowling, he walked over to it. At first, he thought it was some bit of trash, until he got closer and picked it up. It was a piece of armor that had broken off. Not just any armor. This was a symbol he knew and had seen many times. His heart hammering, he took it and returned to Colossus. Without a word to anyone, he teleported to Apollyme's palace and headed for her garden. As always, she was sitting at her mirror, watching the world. But when she felt his approach, she came to her feet. Has something else happened? He bowed to her, then held the armor piece out toward her. What is this emblem? She took one look at it, and her eyes flashed red. Where did this come from? From Sheba's palace. It's part of the armor our attackers were wearing that night. The piece burst apart as her black dress fluttered.
It appears we have a most potent enemy. Helios went after you, along with my sister Azura.
Why?
You are the children of Apollo. My guess is he wants to eradicate all of you and retake his godhood.
But we hate Apollo.
She laughed bitterly. That doesn't matter, Orion. When you carry the blood of a god, you carry a death sentence. For we are petty creatures, far more so than mankind. And our grudges and power plays take on far worse consequences than anything mankind can conceive. Apollome took his hand and pulled him toward her mirror. Look into the water. As he did so, she stood behind him, with one hand on his shoulder and the other at his waist. The top of her head barely reached his shoulder. Strange, how she seemed so much larger and more fierce until now. But really, she was a tiny thing, physically, compared to him. Her frame was delicately boned and almost fragile in appearance. Meanwhile, he might not be as well-muscled as his father, but he still wasn't slight of frame by any means. His physique was honed and lethal from all his battles and practice, scarred from war and even from play. She danced her fingertips lightly over his collarbone, and as she did so, his arm illuminated. The scroll pattern became luminescent and vibrant, as if it had a life of its own, and the color shot all the way to his eyes.
"You are a creature of great beauty," she whispered in his ear. "Like me, a weapon of absolute death. And yet you can give life."
"I couldn't save my brother or sister," he choked on his tears.
"That is our tragedy. And heart fires that forge us into who and what we are. We hate them for it, but they mold us against our wills. And we have a choice. We either allow those tragedies to bend us into the weapon we're meant to be so that we can continue to fight the battles we must, or we shatter under the weight of them to become useless things. I will never be a useless thing to lie on the floor and bemoan what has happened to me. Rather, I will strike back and strike down all those who try to break me. For that is what a weapon forged by fire does."
She moved her arms so that she held him in a mother's embrace.
"I know you don't feel like a weapon tonight. You're shaken by the blows you've taken, and you feel as if one more will break you. But I know you, Orion. You are the phoenix on your shield. You will rise from these ashes, a stronger, greater warrior, and you will tear down your enemies."
He leaned back against her and nodded.
"Thank you, Akra."
She nodded grimly. "While you were gone, I found out about your dark hunters." He turned to face her.
"Why did she create them?"
"For control. No other reason. It's a power play against her brother,
with no care for our lives.
If she cared for your lives, Orion, she'd have helped all of you when you were cursed."
She was right, and he knew it. Though Artemis was his aunt, he'd never met her or seen her. She was a goddess, and she could have saved them, yet she'd done nothing to intervene on their behalf.
"But I do know their weaknesses." His heart skipped a beat with that.
"What are they?"
"Mostly the same as yours. They cannot go out in the daylight. Though they are immortal and don't have to feed on blood, they can be killed. Beheading, daylight, total dismemberment. And they have human helpers, shield bearers, who watch over them while they sleep. They do have to eat, so they are out and about, and they live in the human world, which makes them vulnerable. They can't harm any Apollyte or human. They can only slay daemons."
"If they break that code,
they will be killed."
"So we can use humans against them."
She inclined her head to him.
"Good. Then it's war."
Apollome smiled in approval. "And I designate you as my primary general."